In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Our text is Psalm 2, which we will unfold as we go, especially verse 7. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Advent is a season in which we reflect upon the coming of Jesus. In Psalm 2, by way of prophecy, two significant aspects of this coming are described and are impressed upon us. Regarding the first that we will consider, Christ speaks these words in the first person through the lips of his ancestor David. The Lord said to me, "You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." Israelite kings were sometimes thought of as sons of the God of Israel. In some ways, Psalm 2 can also be applied to David, to Solomon, or to other rulers over the nation. But it points ultimately to something else, and to someone else. The phrase, "Today I have begotten you," cannot really be said by God in the most strict and literal sense of any merely human king. The Epistle to the Hebrews teaches us that Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And while the territory that David and Solomon controlled during their reigns was significant, they did not rule to the ends of the earth. From within the eternal today of God's infinite and timeless existence, before all worlds and eons, the first person of the Holy Trinity says to the second person of the Holy Trinity, "I have begotten you." This divinely begotten King, who in his humanity is indeed an heir and son of David, is also much more than this. Much more. He is, from eternity, God of God, light of light, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father. And he comes. He comes to this earth from his heavenly glory. He comes into the human race and becomes our brother according to the flesh. He comes into the timeline of human history. And in real history, he does what only God can do. He dies for the sins of the whole world and rises again by his divine power. St. Paul preaches about this coming in a sermon recorded in the book of Acts. We bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. But before Jesus forgives sins, he exposes and condemns sins. And that's the second aspect of the coming of Christ that Psalm 2 touches on. Humanity's inherited sinfulness does not just cause us in our natural state to be separated from God and spiritually dead. We are also by nature active opponents of God, at enmity with him, rebelling against him and defying him. According to our Adamic sinful flesh, we exult in our own proud will and in a selfish desire to be the God of our own lives and the master of our own destinies. Also, according to this inborn sinful condition, we do not truly respect or admire Jesus. Deep down, in the darkest recesses of our twisted old nature, we despise him and what he stands for. The true God, the one who made us, notices this, and he does not like this or tolerate this. And so we read in Psalm 2, Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Believing in a God of wrath against evil and wickedness, including the evil and wickedness that are within us, is not popular today. But God laughs at humanity's popular religions and self-made spiritualities. And he derides the indulgent and non-threatening false gods that fallen humanity has manufactured for itself. The coming of Christ, at Advent and always, includes a coming for judgment of all this. And it is a coming for judgment of us, of you and me, insofar as we too turn away from the goodness of God, rage against his demands, plot against his plans, and resist his authority over us. This is what we are doing every time we do what we know is forbidden or refuse to do what we know is commanded. And so Psalm 2 goes on to describe what Christ as divine judge will do when he comes into the sinful world that we inhabit and into the sinful lives that we lead. The psalm quotes God the Father speaking these words to his son, Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. The epistle to the Hebrews expands on these warnings. We know him who said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The weight of the law does crush us and convict us because we have sinned against the Lord and deserve his punishment. But a warning of divine punishment at the hands of the Lord's anointed is not the last thing that God wants to tell us through Psalm 2. The psalm concludes with an invitation, and it is an invitation that is directed also to you and to me. As we stand guilty before God, but as we also yearn to be delivered from our guilt, to have a clear conscience before God, and to be restored to our fellowship with God. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. In one of the liturgical prayers of confession that is commonly used among us, we say, Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we acknowledge that we have sinned against God and have thereby kindled his wrath. And we flee from this wrath for protection and help. But we do not flee from God. We flee back to God. In Christ, and because of the death and resurrection of Christ for our salvation, we flee from God's wrath to God's mercy, from God's condemnation to God's justification in his Son. We flee from the one whom we have offended by our sins to the one who has lovingly atoned for our sins. We take refuge in him and in his promises of peace and pardon. In the season of Advent and in every time and season, We humbly rejoice to hear the absolving announcement that our sins are washed away and will not be held against us. And with fear and reverence, we do indeed kiss the Son when the Son comes to us in the sacrament of his body and blood and mystically unites himself to us. In his epistle to the Colossians, St. Paul comforts us in our penitence. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. In his epistle to the Romans, St. Paul comforts us in our humility. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. The epistle to the Hebrews correctly states, "We know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' But in faith, we also know him who says today, 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.' For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned." And so we sing and pray. O come, thou key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, we bless and praise you forever that you sent your Son to rule over us poor sinners who for our transgressions justly deserved to remain in the bondage of sin and Satan, and that in him you gave us a meek and righteous King who by his death became our Savior from sin and eternal death. We beseech you so to enlighten, govern, and direct us by your Holy Spirit, that we may ever remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior, and not, after the manner of the world, be offended by his humble form and despised word, but, firmly believing in him, obtain eternal salvation through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.